want to welcome you in the Saviour's name to our evening broadcast. We do thank you sincerely for taking the time to listen to this message. We pray that it will be both a help and a blessing to you. We just remind you of our midweek service this coming Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock. It will be here in the main church building. It will take the form of a missionary deputation. So we do encourage you to come along and to join with us. Remember, both services next Lord's Day, 11:30 a.m. is the morning service. It will be held here in the will of the Lord in the church building. 6:30, the evening service, it takes the form of a broadcast. And you'll be able to find that broadcast on various internet platforms, Sermon Audio, Facebook and YouTube. In the will of the Lord, I'll be preaching myself at these meetings. So please make them known. We value your help in that way. And if you can, if it's possible at all, we would be encouraged if you could come along and join with us. We're going to read together from the Scriptures. We invite you to take the Word of God. We're reading in the Old Testament. It's the second book of Samuel, the 14th chapter. We're taking up the reading in verse 12. We're going to read down to the end of verse 17. It's part of the story of the wise woman of Tekoa, the meeting that she had with King David, the conversation that they held together. So 2 Samuel 14, verse 12. And let us hear the word of the Lord. Then the woman said, "Let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak one word unto my lord the king." And he said, "Say on." And the woman said, "Wherefore then hast thou thought such a thing against the people of God? For the king doth speak this thing as one which is faulty, in that the king doth not fetch home again his banished. For we must needs die, and there is water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that is banished be not expelled from him. Now therefore, that I am come to speak of this thing unto my lord the king, it is because the people have made me afraid. And thy handmaid said, I will now speak unto the king. It may be that the king will perform the request of his handmaid. For the king will hear to deliver his handmaid out of the hand of the man that would destroy me and my son together out of the inheritance of God. Thine handmaid said, the word of my lord the king shall now be comfortable. For as an angel of God, so is my lord the king to discern good and bad. Therefore, the Lord thy God will be with thee." Just ending there, the end of the 17th verse. And it's our earnest prayer the Lord will bless and write upon every heart this, the public reading of his word. Let's take time just to pray for the Lord's help. Father, we bow before thee in the attitude of prayer. We remember that you said that you give power to the faint, and to them that have no might, you increase strength. We acknowledge that we need your help. We need your power. Pray, Father, you'll stand with us. Remember that Paul prayed that the Lord would stand with him, so that by him the preaching might be fully known. Our prayer, Father, is that you'll bless your word as it goes forth in this broadcast. We ask thee, Father, to use the message. You've assured us that your word will not return unto you void, but accomplish the thing whereto you've sent it. Pray that you'll bless the witness of the church here in Armagh in these days. Our cry, Father, is that you'll lead this work on. Lead it on from strength to strength. Pray that this building will ever be a soul-saving shop within a yard of hell. We remember, Father, all in need. Especially we pray for our Queen, and their royal family at this time of grief and bereavement and loss for them. We ask that you'll draw near. And our prayer is that you might speak to their hearts and even speak to our nation and speak all across the earth, even at this time. So, Father, hear and answer these our prayers. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The words of our text are found at the beginning of verse 14 of this chapter. It's 2 Samuel chapter 14 and the verse 14. The words of the wise woman of Tekoa to King David, "For we must needs die." I'd like to impress those words just upon your hearts this evening. The theme of the message in the gospel is the warning from the death of Prince Philip. We were all saddened by the news at the end of the week of the death of the Queen's husband, the Duke of Edinburgh. He lived a long and a full life. He was almost 100 years of age, 2 months and a day short of his 100th birthday. But the warning, men and women, of his death is this: the certainty of death for all mankind. Despite his long life, despite his high position, he died. He didn't live forever, and there's a clear warning that death is certain for every person. That is a warning for your heart today. It's a warning that one day you will die too. So for just a little while this evening, from the Word of God, I want us to think about the certainty of death. The most certain thing, men and women, about life is death. The fact that life will end. George Bernard Shaw, the famous Irish playwright, said that the statistics on death are quite impressive. 1 out of 1 people die. Society today is obsessed with statistics. Well, here's the ultimate statistic. Everybody dies. It's certain, men and women. The surest thing about life is the fact that it will end. We don't know how our lives will end, whether by accident, by disease, whether by old age, by a violent act, by a freak of nature. We don't know where we will die, whether it will be at home, abroad, in church, in town, or at work. We don't know what age we will be when we die, whether a child or a teenager, whether in youth or middle or old age. There's much about life that we don't know. But what we do know, what we're sure of, is the fact that life will end. The scriptures, right at the very beginning, says, "Thou shalt surely die." There's nothing surer in this world, men and women, than death. This is not a myth. It's not fiction. It's not made up. And I want to encourage and exhort you to face up to it today. Life's greatest certainty is that you're going to die. It's certain for men of all ranks. Matters not what position you hold. We've been thinking of the death of Prince Philip, one of the highest positions. He held one of the highest positions in our land, even across the earth. But it matters not what position you hold. You're going to die. You think of what is said of Egypt in the days of the Passover, when the death angel passed through the land, that from Pharaoh to the maid behind the mill. There's the two extremes, the highest to the lowest. So death is certain for men of all ranks. It's certain for men of all ages. If you walk around the graveyard, read the details on the headstones, you will see that it's not just the old that die. It can be summed up like this. The fact is, the old will die, the young may die, but all must die. Certain for men of all ages. And death is certain as well for men of all financial standings. Luke chapter 16 tells the story of the rich man and the poor man. It says of Lazarus, the poor man, that he died. But the same chapter also declares of the rich man that he also died. So it matters not how much or how little money you have. One day, your life will end. The certainty of death. And we want you to think very carefully, very seriously about that as you listen to this message this evening. Let me remind you that there are many things around us every day that remind us of the certainty of death. Let me just list quickly some of those things for you. You think of your ancestry, that they are a reminder of the certainty of death. Where are your ancestors? Where are your fathers? There are many that you've never met. There are many who are no longer here. You no longer see or spend time with them. Why is that? Well, because death has come and has taken them away. As Solomon said, one generation passeth away and another generation cometh. Ancestors passing away. That proves the sureness of death. You think of the patriarchs. Remember that we're all related to them. You read Genesis chapter 5. It records the longest lives that were ever lived upon this earth. Adam lived to 930. Seth lived to 912. Methuselah lived the longest life of all, 969 years. And I stress to you that those are literal years. They really did live to that great age. They lived a long, long time. But still, they died. Over and over, 8 times in total in that chapter, the words ring out, and they died. The message of the chapter is the certainty of death for all mankind. If those men, who were the fathers of the human race, men who lived to such great ages, if they died, then you can be sure of the fact that you will as well. You think of it. David and Paul are not with us today. Luther and Calvin are no longer amongst us. You do not have the company of your forefathers, perhaps your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your great-great-grandparents. They're gone from this scene of time. And that declares to all of us that death is sure. It declares that it's the fact that all men will die. This, men and women, is something that cannot be avoided. It's something that cannot be escaped. They have died, and so will you. That is something that is absolutely certain. So your ancestry, that teaches us about the certainty of death. You think of the cemetery. It also speaks of the certainty of death. Every tomb, every grave, every headstone, it's a silent witness, and it says that you're going to die. You think of the funerals that you follow to the cemetery. You've often attended a funeral. You've often been to the graveyard. That's especially the case the older that you get. And it's a reminder every time you visit there that death is sure, that life on earth does come to an end. Solomon, writing in the book of Ecclesiastes, said that it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all men. Every wake, every funeral, every graveyard, every house of mourning, they speak powerfully, they preach a sermon about the reality of death. It's sad that today there's no respect for a funeral. It used to be that people would stop as a cortege passed. Some would even walk with it for a little while. That's not the case anymore. If you were to ask the question, why is that? Well, one answer is, because society today doesn't want to think about death. I conducted a funeral in Wales many years ago, asked back to the house after the funeral services. In many regards, it was just a boozing session for the family. That's a common occurrence today. The reason is, they don't want to think about the events. They don't want to think about what has happened. They don't want to think about dying. They don't want to consider their latter end. So just get drunk. Just drown it out of your mind. And perhaps you've done that very thing yourself. So the cemetery speaks of the certainty of death. So too does infirmity. You think of your body. Think of the grey hairs, the wrinkles in your face, the pains and the aches that you experience more and more. Think of the waning of your strength. You lament that you can't do what you used to. You can't do the things that you once did. Remember, the Bible says, the prophet Isaiah, we all do fade as a leaf. What are those things that we've just outlined? They're all a solemn reminder that we're growing old, that life is almost over, that death is fast approaching. Others listening to this broadcast, you've had a clearer, a stronger reminder of death. Some of you have been to death's door, to the very edge of eternity. You've had a heart attack, a stroke, some life-threatening illness. It has been a prolonged illness, something that has been very serious in your life, perhaps many days in hospital. Think of the words of Jeremiah in his lamentation. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. And it's only by the Lord's mercy that you're still here, that you're still alive, that you're still upon this earth. But by your infirmities, by your weakness, your illness, you have been shown by the Lord in the clearest fashion that death is certain for you. You're not going to be here. You're not going to live upon this earth forever. There's one other thing I'll mention that speaks powerfully of the certainty of death, and that's Christianity. The message of the Bible, the message of the gospel, the message of Christianity, it's full of clear and powerful warnings of the sureness of death. The wise woman of Tekoa, who we have read of in the scripture reading today, the words of our text, we must needs die. Here's a must. Here's an imperative. Here's something, men and women, that can't be avoided. Death is a must for every person. You think of what David himself said. There is none abiding. No one's going to be here. No one's going to live forever. Job, the patriarch, said, I know that thou wilt bring me to death. Paul, writing in the book of Hebrews, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. I remember being visiting in the hospital many years ago, saw a sign posted on one of the notice boards of 238 unkept appointments in that department over previous months. Many appointments not kept. But Paul, in Hebrews 9:27, he speaks of two great appointments that every person will keep. That is sure. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Think of the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. Always remember that the book of beginnings ends with these words, in a coffin in Egypt. And the reality is that every life ends in exactly the same way. Every life ends in a coffin, and so will yours. So the Bible's clear. It's unmistakable. Death is certain, men and women. It's sure. You're not going to live upon this earth forever. So here's the warning that is sounded out. The warning from the death of Prince Philip, as all the world considers the death of the Duke of Edinburgh. The certainty of death. We're reminded of it in so many ways. The ancestry, the cemetery, our infirmity, and Christianity. The surest thing in life, men and women, is death. You might say, I agree with all you've said. I know it is all true. You can't dispute one word of it. Well, if that is so, men and women, let us ask this question as we come near a close of the message this evening. Let us ask you, why are you still not saved? Why are you still not converted and born again of the Spirit? How foolish you are to stay out of Christ if you know all of these things to be true. You remember the rich farmer? Luke chapter 12. God called him a fool. Why was that? Well, it's because he made no preparation for his death. He made no preparation whatsoever for eternity. And if you knew all of these things, if you knew of the certainty of death, the reality of eternity, and you're still not converted, then you're a fool too. God says, thou fool. And maybe this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. You remember the words of Isaiah? He spoke them to Hezekiah, the great king of Judah. Set thine house in order. for thou shalt die and not live. And that's what you need to do today. You need to set your house in order. Not just your temporal affairs, especially your spiritual affairs. You need to get right with God. You need to be saved. You need to come to Christ. Receive Him as your Savior. Ask Him to forgive all of your sins. You need to do that this very night. Because remember, tonight is the only time that you are sure of. So think of the words of the wise woman of Tekoa. We must needs die. Here, men and women, is a solemn statement, a solemn reminder of the certainty of death for all mankind. May the Lord bless His word. May He use the message. May He speak powerfully to your heart, maybe to many hearts, even through this message as it is sounded forth. Let's have a word of prayer as we finish. Father, we set our hearts just at the close of this message and at the close of the broadcast. Remember that your word is the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. We think, Father, of those that will hear this message, some hardened in their sin. We pray that they'll feel today the power of thy word, the power of the gospel. We thank you for the gospel message that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We pray there'll be some today come and put their trust in Christ, and their lives will be changed and transformed forever. We pray that you'll make them trophies of grace. Remember that Paul said the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, we rejoice in the power of your word, even to the saving of souls. And we ask you just to bless and to use this broadcast. And we commit ourselves to thee now. And we pray that you'll bless our labors through the remainder of this week. And we ask that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit the Comforter will be our abiding portion. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.